Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires are known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Give us grace, O Lord, to answer readily the call of our Savior Jesus Christ and proclaim to all people the good news of his salvation, that we and the whole world may perceive the glory of his marvelous works, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
Reading from the book of Isaiah. There will be no gloom for those who are in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is my light and my salvation.
from the book of Corinthians. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported by me, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul sacrificed for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I was baptized, none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were not baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the Christ, about the cross, is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee and left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region of shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. He said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
For the message of the cross is foolishness for those who are perishing, but for us it is the power of God. I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm a little bit self-conscious when I start telling stories about Peru because my college students, those college students, when I worked with college students, they would say, they would make fun of me because so many of my stories would begin one time when I was in Peru or when I was in Peru. And so I would start to tell a story, and even if it had nothing to do with Peru, and they would interrupt me and they would say, "You mean that time you were in Peru?" And they thought they were funny. All right. So to begin my sermon today, one time when I was in Peru, I would make these morning walks between the place where I was staying with this little family and the parish compound where I did a lot of my work. And so I would walk, I don't know, maybe 3.5, 4 city blocks or something like that. And I remember maybe 3 or 4 mornings a week, I would turn down this one road and there'd be this group of children playing out in front of one of their houses. And I would walk by and I would hear them say, "Shh, shh, gringo, it's a gringo, shh, shh, shh." And they'd all get real quiet. And I'd walk by and they would go, "Good afternoon." And then they would all run away. And I never got the chance to say, no, it's good morning. This is the difference between morning and afternoon. And what I immediately began to learn in Peru was that this was the way of things. That mistake that those kids were making was, I was making way worse mistakes than that with my Spanish, right? And there was this real sort of diligence that had to be given to what you call things, what you name things. For instance, one of the mistakes I made was I was in a room, I was meeting my host family, and I shook the hand of the daughter of the family, and she says to me, "¿Cuántos hermanos tiene?" But she said a little faster than that, which is, "How many siblings do you have?" But all I heard was, "¿Cuántos manos tiene?" Which is, "How many hands do you have?" And I thought that was a strange question. So I looked down, and dos. And luckily, I have 2 brothers, so the answer worked both ways. So worked either way. But what I immediately realized was that, man, there was the whole issue of being able to come up with the vocabulary that you needed. So I misspoke often because I did not have the vocabulary that I needed. But that was only half the problem. The other half of the problem was that the vocabulary I did have might not work in Peru. And sometimes that got me in trouble. Like the word for eggs. You got to be careful with that word. And that's all I'll say about that. But another one is avocado. So in Spanish, it's aguacate. But in Peru, it's palta. That's what they call. And there are a ton of these things, and you just kind of have to. But I guess I spent a lot of mental energy in those several months that I was there trying to figure out what things are supposed to be called, right? And it's something that we take for granted. But in but what we call things is important. It carries a ton of meaning around that. And what happens in the gospel story today, in which Jesus, who is mourning the death of his cousin, his friend, possibly his mentor, John the Baptist, what he is mourning there, and then leaves the region that he was in and goes to Galilee, and there he calls the disciples. Notice that Simon gets a new name, Cephas, Peter, It's important what things are called because their identity is wrapped up with that. And so the encounter with the Christ in Matthew's gospel in this story is one in which Peter gains a new identity. And here we are in the season of Epiphany where we're trying diligently, and I know you're all good Episcopalians and you're taking your Epiphany discipline very seriously. What we are doing in the season of Epiphany is trying to discover who it is that this person that we claim to be following and proclaiming good news into the world is, right? And maybe what we're learning is that by encountering the Christ in this way, to be invited to follow the Christ and proclaim the new kingdom, proclaim the new good news, we find ourselves in that process. So Epiphany is about identifying God, but we cannot identify God without also identifying our own selves. Words became extremely challenging in Peru, and I think that's why when I finally made my way to this little place called Hogar de la Paz, Home of the Peace, which was an orphanage for women, despite the fact that this was a very difficult place to be, it was kind of where I wanted to be. And so I was there often, certainly every Wednesday, sometimes more days a week I would come and I would volunteer at this little place. And it was difficult in that you walk into this place and it's an orphanage for women. And there's about 70 women living there. The place is probably designed to hold about 40 people, 40, 50 people. And the women who are there had been abandoned there. Have been left there, and they're being cared for by nuns. Most of them were Sisters of Charity. They were Indian nuns. And you walk into this place, and immediately you're just overcome with the desperate nature of this situation, where they just did not have the resources that they needed to care for these women, who many of them were carrying disabilities, were dealing with disabilities, either intellectual disabilities or physical disabilities or both. So you would see a woman in a straitjacket tied to a post for several hours a day because they didn't have the power to supervise, the resources to supervise her in a way that would keep her safe. Other women were wearing football helmets, so if they banged their head against something, they would be safe. Some women were strapped in beds. The place was constantly needing to be cleaned. They didn't have the facility to feed everybody in the same place, so people were cycling in and out of this little kitchen they had for people to eat. It was a desperate place. And I think it came home to me when, so a lot of the compound was open air. Most of it had roofing, and there were several stories, but a big part of it was open air. And there was a wall that surrounded the entire compound. And in the top of the wall, they had taken glass and embedded into the concrete. And I asked about that, and they said, because people will jump over the wall and do predatory things. And so this is where we're at in the world, that security there, it comes down to some glass that's sticking up at the top of the wall. And I think the reason that I was so comfortable at Hogar de la Paz is because I met this woman named Olga. And Olga was in her 30s. She had been dropped off as a child. And she was carrying some physical and intellectual disabilities. But man, Olga and I, we did puzzles together. We read books together. We played board games together. I read books. We hung out and spent a lot of time together. I would take her to be fed. I would lift her off of her bed into a chair and take her, and they would feed her, and then I would take her to another room, and they would do physical therapy. We spent a lot of time together, and none of that time was spent communicating with words, but we talked to each other. Does that make sense? There was a lot shared between the two of us, and this was like the only place in Peru where I wasn't constantly thinking about, okay, unless I had a couple beers. If you have a couple beers, your Spanish comes out. Your Spanish comes out. But other than that, when like the only time where I was just comfortable in being with someone, communicating with somebody, was with Olga. And I cherished that time together, right? And man, what I discovered about Olga is that she constantly was giving away her joy, constantly just giving it infectiously to everyone. Jesus comes to these disciples, calls them on a journey. a journey of kingdom building. He says two things. One, I'm going to build a kingdom and I'm going to preach repentance. Kingdom and repentance, right? And Matthew, what Matthew likes to do is couch everything that Jesus is doing, surround, contextualize everything Jesus is doing in the prophetic voice. And so all the prophecies that came before Jesus lead up to Jesus as far as Matthew is concerned. And today's reading is no different. If you notice, in the gospel reading, I did the same Isaiah passage that Sally did earlier. So that passage from Isaiah chapter 9 comes from the 7th century BC, right? And it's about King Hezekiah, and the message that Isaiah has to King Hezekiah is, if you want to do this kingdom building thing, you have to turn towards righteousness. If you want to do this kingdom building thing, you have to turn towards righteousness. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what Isaiah was saying to King Hezekiah. And then Matthew, talking about Jesus' ministry, 700 years later, Jesus says, if we want to do this kingdom building thing, we have to turn, we have to repent towards righteousness. And I think what Matthew knew and what we should know is that the kingdom of God is built with repentance and righteousness. It was true in the 700 BCs. It was true in the 1st century Galilee. It's true in 21st century America. And so this journey that Matthew invites these disciples on, if you think about it, if you think about what they're getting invited into, it's a journey of giving away everything that they have. They leave their father, they leave their boat, they leave their livelihood. Peter gets a new name, and Matthew makes it clear, and they go to folks who are in need, who are sick, who are desperate, and they give everything away. And in the case of these disciples, they give their very lives. They give their very lives. I think here in the 21st century, as we think about in the Epiphany season, what it means to claim, to promise, to believe that we follow a Christ into the world with this message of redemption, to find out how God has manifested God's self in this physical, literal way, in the very fabric of our existence, right? If we are going to say that, if we're going to proclaim that, if we're going to build that kingdom, what we have to realize is that is a journey of giving everything away. I think for Olga, that was one thing. For us, it's another thing. Olga had her kindness and her joy to give away. We have our privilege and our wealth and our self-righteousness, right? These are the things that we have to give away. And if we think about the kingdoms, right, what Matthew knew, what Isaiah knew, was that the kingdom of God is almost always antithetical to the kingdom that we would build. Our kingdom is about power and wealth and prestige. And God's kingdom is about giving everything away in love. When I left Olga, I knew that I needed to say something to her because she had meant so much to me, and I had to communicate to her how very important she was to me, and I didn't know exactly how to do that. I was really nervous about it. I just didn't think I had the language skills to tell her. And so the night before I left that I was going to see her, I got my little notebook out, and I wrote down all the things in Spanish. I had my little dictionary there and a couple beers, and I wrote down everything that I needed to say to Olga. There it was. And I walk in, and I open to this page, and I sit down beside her, and I begin to read it diligently, you know, the things that I needed to say. And about two sentences in, Olga, who to this point had never said a word to me, looks at me and says, "Te amo," which is, "I love you." And I preach this story from time to time. And I need you to know that when I say this, I mean it literally. In that moment, in front of me was Jesus Christ, right? And she had named what was between us, which was love, just like Jesus had named what was between him and Peter, which was Peter was going to be the foundation of this thing, right? Olga was Christ in that moment, because what I realized was that she had given everything she had to give. And that if I was going to try to be a follower of Christ, that I had brought into Peru all this self-need and self-righteousness, right, hoping to take something. And I left realizing that this following Jesus thing is about trying to figure out how to give it away every day. And when Jesus says repentance, repent for the kingdom of God comes near, what he is not talking about is self-shame or self-abasement. What he is talking about is changing our minds. That's what this word means, to think again, to turn around, to think anew, to think again, to think about it in a new way over and over and over again. Because to build the kingdom of God, we have to reconsider ourselves all the time, every day. And it's a journey of giving ourselves and giving it away in love. And I guarantee you that if we encounter the Christ in this way, that we will discover the Christ and ourselves. Amen.
Let us stand and together profess our faith in the reading of the Nicene Creed, found on page 5 in your bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken to the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people. In the joy of the revelation of God's new light in the world, let us pray, saying, receive our prayer. God, who ordains, become manifest in the work of your ministers in this and every church, so that through the priesthood of all believers, your name and countenance may be made known, your love revealed, your saving promise embraced by all. God of the new light, receive our prayer. God who commands, give discerning and prayerful hearts to those who govern and hold authority throughout the world. From the ashes of oppression and injustice, give rise to your created purpose by which your love pathos will be better realized throughout the world. God of the new light,
receive our prayer.
God who gathers, enfold this parish community and the greater church community in loving mutuality. Where there is discord, help its members to resurrect unity that we may better participate in the kingdom brought about by your self-disclosure. God of the new light,
receive our prayer.
God who restores, hold your embrace all those who in this community are facing trouble, illness, or despair. We especially pray for Margaret, Steve, Nicole, JR, John and Joan, Paul, Marie, Jimmy, Martha,
Ryan and Haley, Teddy, Richard, Irene, June, Michael, Laura, Baylor, Pat, Alberta, Zach, Chuck and Betsy, Michael, Georgina, Joycey, Bill, Martha, Shane, Judy, Pat, Randy, Jeff, Melvin and Barbara, Sherry, Jason, Hannah, Terry, Doug, Kim, Mason, Cameron, Daniel, Carol, Rosemary, Al, Christopher, Thomas, Jen, Dawn School, Hillcrest School, Community Food Pantry at St. Thaddeus. Help us all to see frailty, fatigue, failure, and disappointment as opportunities to depend more deeply on your love. God of the new light, receive our prayer. God who gives birth, lead us and all people to participate in the rejuvenation and resurrection of the earth and all your creation. Make us better stewards of the gift you provide in creation. Make us more mindful of those who are to come after us. God of the new light, receive our prayer. God who gives new life, bring to yourself all those who have died, especially Jane McGrath. Help us to live more fully into the promise and the life you promise through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God of the new light, receive our prayer.
Confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved you as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Please stand as you are able. Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Yes.
First warning, then you say it again, good morning everyone, and then everybody knows, okay, we really have to wrap it up. So I need to tell you a short story. I will preface the story in the same way I started it when I told Casey about it. I learned an important lesson yesterday. I woke up to Lanny barking, and I walk into the living room, and there's a strange person sleeping on my couch. He had just walked in drunk off the street. So that was at 3 o'clock in the morning. I eventually convinced this person to leave, and he took my shoes with him when he went. And I didn't realize he was taking my shoes when he walked out, but this morning I realized that when I saw his shoes by the door instead of my shoes. So anyway, I've got hurting feet, and I'm sleepy. So that's what's going on with me this morning. But I'm going to survive it. And start locking my door at night. So, man. You just can't make this stuff up. Maybe one day I'll preach that story. And it will. I want to begin by extending a heartfelt thank you to the folks who worked really hard this week with a lot of graciousness and love to make a beautiful celebration of life and burial of Jane McGrath. That family felt your love yesterday, and so a deep, deep thank you for all of you. I do need to mention that Judy Short was blowing leaves in the garden and took a fall and broke her leg. She's had surgery, and she's doing well as of now. But anyway, there was a lot of love that was given, and that was a part of that. So if you reach out, I told Judy I was going to tell you about that. If you reach out to her and Jim, I think they would welcome that and appreciate it. There are a couple things that you need to know about that are coming up. Next Sunday, February the 2nd, I will be at St. Albans that day. Pat Cahill will preach here, and I think Christian will preach. And then Sunday the 9th, I will be with St. Thaddeus all day. And that day we will do our parish forum. And that forum will be at 10 o'clock. And it's a conversation. It's a conversation about some of the challenges that church faces in the 21st century and maybe what we can do together to figure some of that out, to maybe experiment. At St. Albans, they hate the word experiment. They would rather call it research and development. So we're going to do some research and development about how we might move together into the 21st century. So I'm fine with that. So D. Taylor was at St. Albans this morning to invite them to the Shrove Tuesday celebration, which is Tuesday the 25th. We'll do Eucharist at 6 o'clock, and then following the Eucharist, we will have the Shrove Tuesday Mardi Gras Pancake Palooza. And it will be glorious, and the St. Albans folks are going to come, and there's going to be contests and all kinds of different things. Beads will be worn. Lanny will have something on. It'll be great. There will be opportunities for you to help out with that, so be looking for those opportunities in the weekly email. Any other announcements? On the 16th of February is this Safeguarding God's Children training at St. Albans at 1:30. I want to commend this training to you. Technically, if you have a key to the church, you're supposed to be trained with this, or if you sit on vestry, or if you have any type of official capacity in the church. It's a training that helps protect communities from predatory behavior. And so it not only helps churches if you're involved, but it helps you in your own life sort of recognize potential dangerous situations. I found it extremely helpful. So it's free training. It's 1:30 at St. Albans on February 16th, and I'll remind you more about that. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us in an offering and a sacrifice to the Most High. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise. At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race. You blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust. We turned against one another. Again and again, you called us to return. Through prophets and sages, you revealed your righteous law. And in the fullness of time, you sent your only son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace.
By his blood, he reconciled us. By his wounds, we are healed.
And therefore, we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory and their unending hymn. And so, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Lord God of our mothers and fathers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rachel, Rebecca, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only, and not for strength, for pardon only, and not for renewal. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Risen Lord, be known to us in the breaking of the bread. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great high priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, your church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen."
Sacrifice for
These are the gifts of God. For you, the people of God, come taste and see that God is good.
Yeah.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. May the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and in the love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this morning of Epiphany and remain with you always. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us go forth rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks be to God.